been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the to know that God's time is now, and it's to whosoever will may come. Oh, dear unsaved friend, tonight, there are many of us here who have been praying for those who have not received Christ as their Savior. I do not know the hearts of each one here, but perhaps there might be someone here. About 20 years ago, at a certain conference in Canada, at the last meeting, just before the meeting, the last afternoon meeting, a father came up to me and said, "Eric, my son is not saved. Will you come with me in a corner and pray for him? Because Scripture says if two or three be agreed and as they ask in my name, it shall be given unto them." And so we did, and we got another brother, and so there were three. You know, two is testimony and three is abundant testimony. And so three of us, we looked for a place to kneel down, and the only place we could find was under the counter in the cloakroom. But we kneeled down and earnestly prayed for that wayward son who was on the broad road that leads to destruction. This father was claiming the promise of Scripture, and so we prayed with him. Then this father had another request. He said, I can't stay for the gospel. He said, will you drive my son home? Will you sit with him at the gospel meeting? And again I said, yes, I will. And so after supper, while we're waiting for the hour for the gospel, we went for a little walk. And as I walked beside this young man, I thought, now's my opportunity to just speak a little word to him. And so I addressed him by name, and I said to him, "Bob, when are you going to get saved? When are you going to accept the Lord as your Savior?" Oh, he says, I'll think about it. And that's the way he passed me up. I'll think about it. I wonder if there's some dear young unsaved soul, our older one here tonight, has been asked the same question perhaps during these meetings, but you have said the same words, "I'll think about it. I'll think about it." Well, I was kind of sad. We went for a walk, and we got back to the hall about 15 minutes before the gospel, and we sat outside. It was a lovely day. We sat outside on the stone steps. But you know, I didn't have anything to say more to him. We sat there quietly. Finally, I said to him, "Bob, if I was to offer you a gift, what would you do?" "Oh," he said, "I'd take it and I'd thank you for it." And then I said, "Bob, God is offering you tonight a gift that all the money in the world can't buy. And dear friends, tonight, God is offering you a gift that all the money in the world cannot buy, and all your efforts cannot obtain it. And it is eternal life. Yes, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so I said, "Bob, you would say thank you for a gift that I would offer you, but you know that gift, you would lose it or wear out. And it'd be gone. But God is offering you something that you can never lose. It's for time and eternity. And yet you're saying, 'I'll think about it.' And it cost God his own dear son, dear unsaved one, to save your soul and mine. And are you going to say to God, 'I'll think about it. I'll think about accepting your gift?'" Oh, as we sing this hymn, life at best is very brief. Yes, it is very brief. There's not one of us has a lease on life. Well, we sat there quietly. And then I said, "Bob, will you accept God's gift, the Lord Jesus, now?" There was a long silence. And then, dear ones, the tears began to flow. And he said, "I will. I will." Our prayer tonight, dear unsaved one, that you might tonight make the decision for Christ and say, "I will. I will receive you as my Savior." And then we got brought before him the truth of Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I watched him, and presently I saw him go up to an older brother and confess Christ as his Savior. Is there someone in this room tonight that will do that? If you do, I want to tell you, you'll receive what that young man received. He received a hug and a kiss. Yes, there were tears, but I want to tell you, there was joy in heaven. Well, life at best is very brief. This may be the last gospel meeting that you or I will ever attend as we sing this hymn, the first and the last verse. Oh, I trust that you realize that now is God's time for you to be saved. We sing the first and last verse of 25.
Life at best is very brief. Thank you.
for a verse in the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, where we have a question asked. First book of Samuel and chapter 17. The question is asked David by his brother in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? It's that question, dear ones, tonight that I would like to talk about. Why camest thou down hither? We know that David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know on this occasion that David was sent by his father, Jesse, down to the army who were in battle with the Philistines. The army of Israel was on one side of the mountain, and the Philistines was on the other side. And David's father sent him down there with a gift for his brethren. And you know, dear ones, tonight, the Lord Jesus came down into this world. Yes, his father sent him down into this world, and he came in order to bring the gift of God to you and I. Oh yes, David, he came unto his own, you know. And there, as he came, he found the armies of the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other. And there was that giant Goliath who challenged the army of Israel. And David recognized, he saw, there was not a man in Israel who could deliver them from the hand of the Philistine. Oh, dear unsaved friends, tonight, Goliath surely is a picture of the enemy of your soul. And you know, the Israelites were no match. They had no power to go against that giant. There was no power. No, they were helpless. And I want to tell you tonight, dear unsaved friend, that you and I have no power in ourselves to deliver us from the enemy of our souls. But thank God for his love that sent his son down into this world in order to deliver us from the power of Satan and to bring us to God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know that you are delivered from the power of sin and brought to God. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, to know why the Lord Jesus came down. Oh, friend, why camest thou down hither? David came to his own, and his own brother, why, spoke sharply against him. Yes, he rebuked him for coming. And you know, David said these words, Is there not a cause? There was a cause why his own did not receive him. There was a cause. And friend, there is a cause, a reason, why you, if you're not saved, have not received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There is a cause, a reason. I wonder what the reason is tonight. Is it your self-will? I wonder if you have in your heart that desire to have a good time in this life, and yet at the same time, you have a desire in your heart to to be saved, but you want to have a good time first. I wonder if there's one here like that. I'll never forget one day in driving along the highway on the Isle of St. Vincent. There was a big crowd of people gathered by the road. And so I stopped and I got out of the car and I walked to the crowd to give them out tracts. But as I approached this big crowd, there was a young man lying on the road. And as I saw a motorcycle wrecked and a bus there, I knew what had happened. And there on the ground was a young man. And he was badly hurt. He had a hole in his back and other injuries. And as he lay on the ground, he was groaning. And he was uttering these words, "I'll never have a good time in the world anymore. I'll never have a good time in the world anymore." Is that your desire, friend, to have a good time in this world? I want to tell you that any good time that you or I can have in this world comes to an end. We've had a happy time during these 3 days, but we've come to the last meeting, and soon our good time here together with one another will come to an end. Yes, friend, there comes that time when you and I will have to leave this world. And as that young man lay on the ground, he realized his condition. And he thought he was going to die. "I'll never have a good time in the world anymore." Well, the doctor came, and the young man was taken off to the hospital. But as I thought about that young man in the hospital, I wanted to warn him. I wanted to tell him of my Savior. And so, a couple days later, I went to that hospital. And as I approached the bed of that young man, there he was. His face was lined with pain. He was in pain. He was suffering. He had a broken hip, but he also had internal injuries, as well as bruises and cuts. And there he lay. Well, I introduced myself to him, and I said to him, "Do you remember what you were saying as you lay there on the roadside?" And he smiled. He smiled weakly. I said, "You were saying I'll never have a good time in the world anymore. And I've come to tell you now how you can have a good time forever. Forever. Not just for a few hours, a few weeks, a few years. I've come to tell you how you can have a good time forever, dear young people, unsaved one. We want to tell you tonight how you can have a good time for time and eternity. There's no end to it." You know, David said in the 16th Psalm, the last verse, he said to the Lord, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Oh, dear ones, that's the path. With God's help, we want to direct you onto tonight, the path of life. And if you get on that path, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you where that path will end. It will end in the presence of the Lord. with her pleasures forevermore. But, oh, friend, be warned. If you don't get on that path, you may be lost forever. And so, as we just told that young man simply, how that the Lord Jesus loved him so much that he died on the cross for his sins. He shed his precious blood in order those many sins might be washed away. That young man, as he lay on that bed, when he was challenged whether he would accept, he says, I will accept Christ. And there on his bed, he received the Lord Jesus, his Savior. May I ask any here tonight, I don't know whether you'll arrive home safely from these meetings. There's not one of us has the least unlike. We don't know. But many of us do know whom we have believed. Yes, we do know the Lord Jesus. May I ask you tonight, will you receive Christ as your Savior? You know the gospel. You've heard it many, many times. Will you tonight receive Christ as your Savior, or will you reject him? It is one or the other. You must receive him or reject him. Which will it be? That young man thought he was going to die. He realized that life was very brief for him. And he was wise. Do you know what the book of Deuteronomy says in the 32nd chapter? I believe it's the 12th verse. Oh, the Word of God says, oh, that they were wise, that they would consider their latter end. That young man was wise. Is there someone in this room tonight that will be wise and receive the Lord as their Savior? In the 16th of Proverbs, it tells us that the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Oh, yes, friend, there is a hell. But the way of life is above to the wise. Yes. Are you wise tonight? Will you receive Christ like that young man did? Well, I'm going to tell you, he didn't die. But he was in that hospital many months. And the Lord did restore him to health and strength. And to the best of my knowledge, he's still reading the little Bible I gave to him. Now it says here, why comest thou down hither? Oh, friends, the children of Israel were helpless. They had no power against the Philistines. And so David came. That day, David became Israel's Savior. He got the victory over the enemy. He killed the giant Goliath. Why camest thou down hither? David came in obedience to his father's will and the Lord Jesus. He came down right into this world in obedience to his God and Father. And he went to that cross. We turn to a verse in Matthew 20. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did the Lord Jesus came down to this world? He didn't come to be ministered unto, friends. You know, some years ago, the Queen of England came to our city. And all the employees of the firm I work for, at the appointed hour, we all went out of the factory, and we stood beside the railway tracks. And the train went by, the royal train, and there was the Queen, standing there, right outside at the back of the train, and nodding and smiling and waving to everyone. Well, you know the Queen. She visited Canada. But she came to be ministered unto. She was ministered unto. Everything that money could do, buy, was provided for her comfort. She was honored and received gifts. Yes, she was ministered unto. But here, the Lord Jesus, he didn't come to be ministered unto. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of glory. He didn't come down to this world to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. Oh, friends, what wondrous love. Just think of the Lord Jesus. He came to minister. Now we turn to Luke chapter 4. Why camest thou down hither? Oh, we have a reason here. In Luke chapter 4, and we have the Lord Jesus. We'll read in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Well, why camest thou down hither? Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus, he came into this world to do the Father's will. He came to fulfill those Old Testament scriptures. He came to fulfill what Isaiah 61 records. And he could say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind." Oh, you know, as we go through life, our hearts are saddened as we see souls that are captive to sin. If there's one here not saved, you are a captive. You are a captive tonight of sin. And you're led about by Satan at his will. Oh, you see, I have a will of my own. Dear friends, it is the goodness of God that has given you and I a will. And that is true. You have a will. And tonight you have a will that allows you to make the choice of what you will. Oh, the grace of God. He has given you and I a will. And tonight, You can receive Christ as your Savior. You can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. Or you can reject it. Yes, which will it be? God has given you the choice. You're not a robot. No, God has given you the choice. Lord Jesus said to those around him, "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." And friend, tonight, if you don't come to Christ, I'll tell you why. It's your will. It's your will. Oh, tonight, will you say, "I will," to the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus, he fulfilled these scriptures, and as he went through this world, he preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He set the captive free. Yes. Oh, think of him. As he crossed the sea, and there he was met on the other side by a man, the legion, who was full of devils. The Lord Jesus could cast those devils out of that man. He could set him free. Yes, from those devils. Some weeks ago, on the island of St. Vincent, in the Ames home where we preached the gospel, I saw a young man. He would be in his 20s. And this young man, if you want to know what he looked like, what he dressed like, you read the 5th chapter of Mark, and you'll get a description of his behavior. And he walked up and down. He was slapping his face so hard that as I preached the gospel, I could hear the slap. He was slapping his face like that when we began the gospel. And he was still doing it when we left that place an hour later. Oh, my heart went out to that dear man. But what could I do? I had no power to cast whatever caused that out of that young man. I had no power to set him free, to restore him to his right mind. But the Lord Jesus did. And we find that the Lord Jesus, through his life, he set the captive free. Yes. He preached the gospel. He preached the acceptable year of the Lord. And dear friends, tonight might be the last night that the gospel will go forth. You know, the Lord Jesus, he did not quote the last part of that verse in Isaiah 61. No. He read to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. If you were to turn to Isaiah 61 and read those few verses, you would find out that what he did not read was this. Oh, to proclaim that year of vengeance, to execute that vengeance. Dear friends, there's a day of vengeance coming upon this world and upon every Christ-rejecting soul. There is a day of vengeance coming. I don't want to warn you. The Lord Jesus came into this world. Why did he come? He came to give his life a ransom to deliver you from this present evil world. Oh, how wonderful is his love and his grace. Why camest thou down hither? Oh, friend, there's one word with four letters that tells us, and it is love. L-O-V-E, yes. And so, the Lord Jesus, he had this testimony, all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And yet, dear friends, this world took that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, That man, the Lord Jesus, who walked through this world, the Son of Man, the one who never sinned. Oh, the one who always did the will of God. The one of whom they marveled at his gracious words. They took him and they crucified him to Calvary's cross. Oh, friend, this world is guilty tonight of the blood of Christ. And I want to warn you, if you reject Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, you're going to come under the judgment of God. You are condemned now. Condemned. A few weeks ago, I was in a prison where there were 6 condemned men. And there they were in their individual cells. They were condemned for murder. They were condemned. And you know, as I spoke to those men and gave them the simple gospel as we're trying to do tonight with God's help, you know, those men listened. They were condemned. But there was one there who tried to argue and to reason and to say, well, the Lord Jesus, he was just an ordinary man. He wasn't God. He wasn't the Son of God. He was a good man. But he wasn't God. Oh, friends, I stand here tonight to tell you this solemnly. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And if you deny that, there's no Savior for you. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. We turn to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Let's go down a little further. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, friends, isn't this wonderful? He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. They rejected Him. What are you going to do? Are you going to reject Him? How wonderful it says. But to as many as received Him, to them, why, God has given the right or the title to become the sons of God. Oh, what a wonderful relationship God has for each one who receives His Son as their Savior. Yes. And so it says in verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes, the law is true, but there is no grace with the law. The law has no grace. And friend, tonight I want to warn you, if you put yourself under law, you're going to stand before God and be judged for breaking that law. Yes, you will. Oh, the Lord Jesus. He was the truth. But thank God He is gracious. What are you going to do? Are you going to take advantage of His grace? Oh, I challenge any here tonight who is not saved. Why comest thou down hither? The Lord Jesus came in love for your soul and mine. Why camest thou down hither? Let's read a verse in the 3rd chapter. What does the Lord Jesus say? Oh, it says in verse 16, and He uttered these words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not
perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, friend, as I talked to those six condemned men, my heart went out to them. They are condemned. Maybe they'll never have to go through death at the hands of the executioner. But I want to tell you, should the laws change and they do not execute that death sentence, the day is coming when they're going to stand before God. Now, may I say this in love to your soul? If you're not saved, friend, you are condemned. You're condemned. Right now, you are condemned. Why comest thou down hither? The Lord Jesus came down to set you and I free. He came to give his life a ransom, an order, that we might be set free from our sins. Yes. He came down to manifest the love of God. Oh, it says here, he came not. God sent not his Son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Apostle Peter in Acts 4 says this, "Oh, it says, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That isn't the verse I had in mind. I'll turn to Acts 4. "Through his name," the verse I had in mind, verse 12, Acts 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so, friend, tonight, you are condemned. And if you are going to escape from that judgment, you must be saved. And if you don't get saved, you're going to come under the judgment of God. You are condemned now. And you are awaiting that day when you will stand before God. Those men are in that cell. They're bound there. They're in that cell. They don't have the liberty. And I want to say, if you're not saved, you don't have your liberty. You don't have your liberty. Oh, you say I do. But you don't. You are led by Satan at his will. Oh, friends, there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And as we come to the end of this last gospel meeting in this building, perhaps it will be the last, I know not. If the Lord tarries, there may be another gospel meeting in this building later on next year, I don't know. But friend, you may not be here. I may not be here. You must be saved. Or stand before God to receive the judgment for your sins. Oh, as I close, will you tonight receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Why camest thou down hither? Oh, may I again answer that from 1 John, Epistle John, chapter 4. And verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why camest thou down hither?
Oh, friends, I trust that the memory of these words will linger in your heart, and that you might not forget them. Why comest thou down hither? Oh, friend, may you never forget. It was because God loved you. And he loved you so much. He proved it. He gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins. Will you tonight receive him? I trust you will. You pardon another story. But just a couple weeks ago, in Bermuda, in a prison there, one of the inmates came up to me, and I noticed his beaming face. And he said, "Sir," he says, "I remember you 5 years ago." He says, I've been out of this place since then, and I got put back in again. But he said, "I want to tell you now that since I got back in again, I've heard the gospel and I'm saved. I've received the Lord as my Savior." And he says, "When I get out of this place, I trust I won't get back in again." Well, you know, I was glad of that confession. There was a young man who was led captive by sin, and there he is in that institution. He's paying his debt to society. Thank God, he won't have to pay his debt to God, because the Lord Jesus on the cross paid his debt. How about yours? You want your debt forgiven tonight? Oh, just receive the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Will you accept it? I leave the choice for you, friends. If I could, I would receive him for you, but I can't. But oh, I can recommend him to you, dear ones. Yes, as a boy, I received him as my Savior. And I want to tell you that his love never changes. My love has changed, but his love to me has never changed. Yes, such is the one who loved us and died for us. Oh, then, as we bring this gospel meeting to a close, one hesitates to close it because one realizes how busy Satan is. And I trust that you might have the grace to make the decision tonight. And don't go out that door till you have confessed with your lips, as well as believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We might sing number 26. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Number 26.
There is life. Yeah.
last verse.
Thy